Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hey there, everybody. Bishop Randy Dean here with you again today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS. Bait and switch or other things that BS might represent. At any rate, love is the most credible, if not the credible, value of all human relationships. It is the currency of how human relationships can flourish, human relationships can develop and grow without being BS, without being manipulated, without being shamed or blamed. Love is the foundation of the human condition. With that foundation, we can build to the skies. And that's why I'm here, week in and week out, encouraging you to join me in this pilgrimage of love. I like to tell people every time I gather with you, I tell you, I am not an expert at love. I'm a pilgrim just like you. I'm climbing the mountain. I'm seeking to reach that pinnacle. And I know it's going to take all of my life and even eternity to discover the truest values of love. I don't want to miss one rock along the path. I don't want to miss not one blade of grass in this journey of love. And in that regard, again, I'm no expert, but I do offer to you 50 years of a pastor and my experience with congregations and counseling and preaching, teaching. You know, I haven't said this here, I don't think ever, that I've spent 25 years of my ministry during the summertime preaching and teaching and ministering to youth camps. Right up until 2019, so that's just 3 years ago, that once COVID shut down everything, then my long-term run with youth camps came to an end. But I'm so pleased to tell you that during those 25 years of spending many, 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 many nights and days with youngsters, teenagers, students, I found myself learning more than I taught. I found myself being educated and growing more than they ever were encouraged to grow by me, even though I would preach my heart out to those students. I'm bringing that up now because I believe it just is a part of my portfolio as my life and ministry can offer you some kind of counsel along your own pilgrimage in the journey of love. So to that end, in the journey of love, I want to offer you Love's Creed. That's something we talk about here, and it's something I offer to you as a creed like we would the Apostles' Creed in church. It's a creed that you can repeat after me in a moment. I'll repeat it in small phrases so you can repeat after me, but I'd like to give it to you in total first, and then we'll come back through it, and I'll give it to you like I would for a bride and groom at the marriage altar when I give them their vows, all right? So here's Love's Creed. I am so committed to this. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Those words came to me in a time when I was pretty crushed, pretty disappointed by an event in life. And like anybody else, you all have been there too, haven't you? Where you just seem like life came along like a freight train, knocked you flat on your face, and you were looking around for something to grab to pull yourself back up. And it was at that point that I was developing this curriculum of love, teaching being alive to love. And at that point, I said, I need a solid creed, if for nobody else but myself. And so I wrote this in my journal, and now it's become something that I bring forward here and in other venues as well. So let's give it that vow-like repetition, shall we? I'll give it to you in small portions, and I'd like for you to repeat after me for your own ears to hear this Love's Creed. Here we go. I'm alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's love's creed. It's a beckoning light, I hope, for your pathway and the pilgrimage of love as you hike along the path. I pray and I hope that this becomes just a good, solid light for your footsteps. Today I want to talk to you. In fact, I want to start a two-part series today on how love cries out to me to deal with me. Love insists that it's that insistence that demands that I give attentive inventory to myself. Because when I look at myself honestly, deeply, and consistently, I'm going to repair me long before I ever repair anybody else, if ever I repair anybody else, which should be a very rare occasion. Because love seeks its own repair first and foremost in order to be able to be any help to anybody else. It's what Jesus said. You know, you're going to tell your neighbor, hey, you got a speck in your eye, but your neighbor could easily look at you and say, yeah, I think the speck you see in my eye is that big 2x4 log in your own eye. It's understanding that we see in others what we own in ourselves. And love demands, the reality of love demands that I give attentive inventory to me above all other inventories. I gained the word inventory from 12-step groups. I'm spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat. And as spiritual care director for that group, the opportunity for me is to hear a fifth step where I admit to God and another human being the exact nature of my wrong. That's what people do in the fifth step. But before they get there, they have to have had an inventory, that they took a fearless and courageous moral inventory to look within, to see who they are before they ever attempt to determine who other people are. Because I'll tell you, the more you know you, the more you'll recognize everybody else is really kind of a reflection of you. So to be determined through love, it demands that I give an attentive inventory to myself first, above all other things. See, because when we cultivate love, we're going to give ourselves and the permission to be the most vulnerable and powerful self that we could possibly be, so that we can be seen and known and heard, because we're through love, we're going to honor all spiritual connections with other people around us. And anything that I might help others with will be first cultivated in me. That if I'm vulnerable with my own foibles and my own faults and my own scribbles instead of beautiful cursive, if I'm honest about that with myself, then I'm going to be far less tempted to jump in your business when I'm minding my own through love. Because then I can give trust and respect and kindness and affection to others, because I have learned by seeing myself. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a shortcoming. Everybody is fighting their own battle along the way, and they need my patience. And in order to give them patience and vulnerability that's of any value at all, I'm going to need to look at myself first and foremost. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. You know, that's what we said a moment ago. And as such, if I'm alive for love, then love's reality will demand of me to give an attentive inventory to me, to who I am, to look at myself honestly and deeply and consistently, so that in repairs in this world, I'm more determined to repair myself. You know, repair man, repair yourself. Physician, heal yourself. It's the love's the platform. It's the high dive into a loving review of yourself. And as such, when you do that, when you develop that, then you cultivate a love for others. It's based in your own self-inventory that is patient with others. When I'm vulnerable about my own mess, I'm going to look at your mess with a whole lot less temptation to tell you, clean up your mess. I'm going to look at my mess and say, oh boy, I sure hope nobody saw that. I'll clean this up quick as I can. And if somebody comes along and says, oh my, I'm so sorry about your mess, how can I help? Let me get a broom and a dustpan. We'll clean that mess up for you. Now see, that's the life of love. Life lived for love will draw people to you in your foibles. It won't reject them because they come to you seeing that you're always protecting your foibles. When I lose that self-protective nature and I grow the courage to be vulnerable, ooh-wee, good things start happening all around me. Love's reality demands that I give an attentive inventory to me, because when I look at myself honestly, deeply, and consistently, I will repair myself long before and if ever I seek to repair others, because I'm looking at the log in my own eye. Brené Brown, in her book, Atlas of the Heart, one of my favorite books. It's not an easy reading book. In fact, it's pretty pedantic. It's pretty teachy. It's pretty heavy, but it's like an encyclopedia. You will learn. And in this this Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown talks about so many emotions in the human spectrum of how we develop a life of connection to other people through vulnerability and other matters. But she devotes a good chunk of her book to love and how love creates this platform for relationships that is it's healthy and beautiful. And one of the things she said, I love this quote, we need more real love. Gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love. I've been told by well-meaning church folks that, well, we can love people, but we got to tell them the truth then. And it seems to me we're way too anxious to start truth-telling because we love them. And more often than not, that's just kind of an excuse. It's kind of a license to kill. Here's what I see. And by the way, they're quoting a Bible verse that says we speak the truth in love and we grow together in Christ. But here's the reality that I see in that Bible verse. It means through love, I'm seeking relationships that last. I'm seeking relationships that have value. I'm seeking relationships that are genuinely, beautifully connected so that in the event, now listen to me carefully, in the event that somebody seeks truth from me, they seek it because they know I love them. They seek it and they ask for truth, not because they know I've got a license to kill emotionally, but they know I've got a heart to love. And that opening in and of itself is what truth needs. It's an opening, it's a platform, and it's, as Brené Brown says, it's real love. Gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love. You know, I believe that when we cultivate love, we're doing it based on the opportunity to be of the highest value to people and not just a passing hello, goodbye, how you been, where you going, okay, see ya. I think love seeks out depth. And I think that requires of all of us a whole lot of patience, a whole lot of endurance. So as I said a moment ago, those who would encourage me to speak the truth in love, Pastor, well, I'm going to do that, sure, but that might take me a year or two or three or four or five. I'm not going to just blurt out the truth and say, well, now you had it coming because I love you. No, that's silly. That's absolutely, it's ludicrous. But I love at the greatest level I can. First of all, checking myself, doing my own self-inventory, and then I love in a way that person knows that when I say something at their invitation, or maybe it isn't, they understand, they trust that I'm not just out to put a notch in my belt, like, hey, I got to tell them the truth. That's not what love is about. Love doesn't seek its own. Love does not seek to be right. Love seeks what is right. And sometimes what is right isn't me. That's the whole part about taking my own inventory, right? Love doesn't seek to be right. Love seeks what is right, even at my own expense. And my expense could be I have to own that I'm wrong. I mentioned a moment ago that I'm a spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat, and I've been asked many times to share my story, my recovery story. I'm not a drug or alcohol addict, but I am an addict to codependency. Codependency treats my body like any drug or alcohol would those who are physically addicted on that level. And as such, I have shared my story as a codependent growing up in a home where drugs and alcohol had owned the life of my older brother to the degree that there was a lot of pain in that little apartment in North Milwaukee. So when I share my story, I am routinely given to start my story with this. Hi, I'm Randy. I don't get off on Jack Daniels. I get off on jacked up people because I will work harder on your life than you're willing to work on you. That makes me a codependent. I don't get excited about Jack Daniels. I get excited about jacked up people for my addiction. And what I want you to know as a pastor who's lived better part of 50 years as a pastor, that on behalf of priests and imams and rabbis and preachers everywhere, deacons, church leaders everywhere, I want to say, I'm sorry. We've done a poor job of loving you. We've done a poor job of being patient with people with their addictions and their codependencies. We've not done an adequate and thorough, beautiful inventory of our own need to love. We've been too busy fixing you, and we haven't recognized that part of the problem is right here in our own 2 feet. That's me. It's my issues. And when I have and when I talk to groups and tell my story, and when I have a need to fix you rather than love you, there's something broken, and I'm only going to break you more. So please forgive me as a pastor, a minister, that we ministers have done a poor job of helping the addicted. So I want you to hear me there too, not just in addictions, but in general. So many of us in the professional ministry, and I include myself there, have not been adequately trained or adequately patient or adequately on our own journey of love, on our own journey to be a force of love. We've been far too quick to reach out and just throw the truth around, and not more quick to simply love people exactly where they are. Well, I told you at the very beginning of this broadcast that this will be a two-part broadcast, and this is part one about taking my own inventory and learning that through my inventory, that's the way I can help people best, is to be thoroughly and radically, beautifully, and in a nitty-gritty way. I've gotten me pulled together in a way that's healthy and beautiful, so that my love is genuine. My love isn't just put on. My love isn't just a project that I'm reaching for, but it's a reality. It's wild-eyed and courageous to reach folks where they are, not where I demand that they be. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. That's love's creed. Every week here on the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, we do two things to exercise ourselves toward a healthy life of love. And one of those things is we breathe. Yep, we breathe. We breathe deep, and we breathe with intentionality. We're in a society of fast fixes. We're in a society of quick information. The information age, I would suggest, isn't so much the information age as it is information inflation age. We got too much coming at us too often and too loudly. It's time to breathe. Slow the pace down. Give yourself time to let your heart rest, even in the middle of the day. Let your heart come to some peaceful repose. And the way to do that is to breathe well. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to take a good, deep breath. Get that breath down into the very lower quadrant of your lungs. Hold it down there. You know, when you go to the doctor and they put the stethoscope on your rib cage and they'll say, take a deep breath and hold it for me. Well, that's the kind of breath I'm talking about here. On the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath and hold it, not for me, but for you. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it right there. Get it down in the bottom of your lungs. And exhale. I find myself doing that throughout every day of my life. I'm a pretty hardwired guy. I'm intense. I have been my whole life. I doubt that I'll live this life and leave this life with anything less than my intensity. But that friend of intensity can also be my enemy, and it's important that I slow it down, take a deep breath, give my lungs and my heart a chance to just be in a rhythm. That's what I'm asking you to do. Get yourself down off the ceiling and be a lover with full intentionality. Now, the second thing we do in these broadcasts, and I want to spend just a minute more on this because I don't want you to think in any way that this is some kind of trick or some kind of parlor game. It's real to me. I started this about 10 years ago. It's really been quite the journey for me. And I started it, I mentioned youth camps a moment ago. I started it, ironically, in a youth camp, you know, with a bunch of middle school and high school students. And the awkward notion of what I'm about to suggest was really ripe right there. And here's what I do every No BS Bishop as I close. I ask you to take time to look somebody in the eyes and give them the full intent of the three most charmed, magical words in the human language. And those three words are these: I love you. And you know, you can put different lilts on it, different intonation. I love you. Or you can say, I love you. You put the emphasis where you want, and it changes it in slight ways, but it does change how it's being delivered. Give people eye contact when you say that. In that youth camp that I first started this exercise, those kids, at first they were giggling and laughing, and there was all kinds of awkward notions amongst us. But I said, look, I'm not asking you to make a boyfriend or a girlfriend here. I'm asking you to make connections with other people and make them serious at some real level of love. And throughout that camp week, I remember watching these students get it. They caught it. And I realized that a lot of these students are kids that are coming from homes that are in the throes of pain of divorce. And, you know, those kids weren't asked permission for mom and dad to divorce, and yet they're there, and they're just trying to survive the pain. And what they need more than anything else is somebody to look them in the eye and say, no matter what's happening with mom and dad, no matter what's happened in life up till now, I want you to know three words mean the world to me for you. And those three words are these: I love you. And when you do that, yes, it'll be awkward at first with most people, and it'll be clumsy perhaps. But as you learn the rhythm of that, and as you learn how beautiful an exercise that is for people, I'm convinced it's a powerful and even a revolutionary force. Like Brené Brown said, we need more real love, gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love in this big, wild world of ours, right? All right. Well, I appreciate you being here. I'm going to continue with this conversation about being thorough in my own inventory, to take my own inventory before I take anybody's inventory, if ever taken another inventory of somebody else. Because when I take my own inventory, then I'm brave enough to be vulnerable. And when I'm brave enough to be vulnerable, that's where love has its most juicy and lovely expression. All right? Vulnerability, it's the key that unlocks human relationships, and it sustains us in a society that's otherwise tearing itself apart on so many levels. Well, I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm glad you joined me today in this pastor's study where I could be a counselor to you, where I could offer you some thoughts that might improve your life, give you some quality that you didn't have before. I'm thrilled that you took time to be here with me. Now, next week, I'll do part two of this on this whole idea of taking my own inventory without any fear, with a courageous moral sense of what's good and what's wrong in me, so that I can then go forward with a love for others that's genuine and beautiful and bright and strengthening to other people. Now go out there into this ugly world and do something beautiful. In this ugly, pain-filled world, I challenge you, do something beautiful. Because you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Ugly is getting done to death. Why don't we rise up and do beautiful things? Paying for somebody else's groceries, paying for somebody else's tank of gas, making sure that our server at the dinner table at a restaurant gets the biggest tip they ever got. Seeing to it that we're polite, we're opening doors for other people, we're patient, we're not honking horns at anybody, but we're living a life of beauty, because ugly has been done to death, and it's time for the people of love to arise and shine with the beauty of love in all of this world. Now go out there and do it for yourself and for me. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been my delight and pleasure to have this half an hour of your time. I say it once again like Roy Rogers used to say it, right? Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.